You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
Wait is over. That's right. It's the most anticipated hour on the internet. If I do say so myself, that is the Church of the Lampshade show, and it is installment number 51. So glad you could join us. We're going to have a great show. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. It's going to be a great show, great discussion this week. We're going to hit on a lot of different things, and I don't even know what all we're going to talk about. What's our Christian specific message going to be later on the show? I don't even know what it's going to be. We're just going to completely 100%, well, as we often do, we're going to fly by the seat of our pants. I don't even know where this week's show is going. And that's what's going to make it, I think, a little extra fun. As always, though, we do have a somewhat of a format we follow here on the show. We always like to start off with the listener support information. We have three supporters this week, including one Bitcoin Anon. Very much appreciated. It's been a tight financial week here in the Lampshade household. Haven't been able to do much outside work. So, whatever I can get, it is much appreciated. If you want to be a part of that, that information is below at the bottom of the description page here. And we do have snail mail. We've got Bitcoin. Email address is down there also if you're Bitcoin Anon and want to drop a note. I encourage you to do so. And that's down there as well. So again, we have Bitcoin. Any other kind of cryptocurrency you got out there that you would rather do, let me know, and I'll get you an address for that. A lot of people seem to be doing Monero these days, and I mean, there's all kinds. There's just various cryptocurrencies out there, but we always just say Bitcoin because, well, that's what everybody thinks of when they say crypto. Anyway, whatever I can get, I am much appreciated and appreciative, I should say. So, yeah, let's get to it. We got Bill with monthly donations for the work of Grandpa Lampshade. Very much appreciated. We've got, I was just thinking the other day, there's a church here in town, and, modern, and but they're always expanding. They got this great big building now, and I mean, you go by there on a Sunday and it's so busy. They have like traffic cones up for all the people, and I don't know yet. I mean, it's a big church for a town this size, and I don't know how many people they get in there on a Sunday, judging 800. I don't know. I mean, that's just a wild guess. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but say 800 people. And they're always expanding. There's a big fancy building. Here we are. I've got multiple times people that listen to the show, and it's just like, well, I'm coming home in the evening covered with grease and sore and can't hardly move around, So it just makes me that much more appreciative of those of you who do support what we do here. I don't get salty over it. Okay, I get a little salty sometimes, but I don't really get salty over it. Because I think of the Apostle Paul and how he's, in his letters, he told the churches he's writing to, he pointed out that, when he was among them, he chose to work with his hand. He didn't try to just, live off of, okay, y'all got to support me now. So, yeah, I try to think of it that way. I still work with my hands, but all the support I get is very much appreciated. Our weekly supporter, we always count on, Mr. T. Hope all is well with you here in Clown World, Hong Kong. It is indeed Clown World. It is like this inverted, weirdo, bizarro, backwards, upside down world. And I don't know whether just to laugh at it or just mock it or a little bit of both, I suppose. It is honestly, everything is so upside down. I feel like if we could go back in time and we could like tell like George Orwell, what Clown World is like, he'd be like, oh, no, man, come on now. I write about some of this dystopian future stuff, but I mean, this, no, that is what, nobody will believe that. It's way too over the top. And yet that's where we are. And so Hong Kong indeed, that's we just rock on the clown in the clown car here, whether we like it or not. We just barrel on. We've already barreled over the cliff. We're just waiting to see who crawls out of the wreckage at the bottom. I don't know. You know, who knows what the answer to that's going to be. So, again, thank you to our financial supporters this week. I really encourage you folks that haven't, maybe. I really appreciate those of you who do week in, week out, or month in, month out, however you do it. I mean, I see these familiar names, and I can't really express here how much it means to me. I'm not sucking up, you know, I'm not just going into shekel shilling overdrive here. But I mean, I just really, it means a whole lot. And if you listen to the show and you've never, kicked in, encourage you to do so. Maybe you'll get something out of that too, a feeling of, another level of taking part in what we do here. So encourage you to do so. Getting off into the meat of the show. Of course, like I say, all sorts of things. The clownishness never stops. I was sitting here reflecting right before recording. I was talking last week, I was laughing about that guy, the guy who makes everything, the cringy guy, who makes everything about Jesus, I think I, hey, you need to mow your grass, you know what this tall grass reminds me of? What's that? Jesus, and how that makes, how cringy that is. But for the sake of fairness, there's those who are even more cringy, and that is, I was thinking about how there's people like this, in other areas besides the make everything about Jesus cringe guy. I was thinking about, the atheist spur guy. And that's not to say, all atheists, all non-believers are Spurg. I'm talking specifically about atheist Spurgs. And, they're the ones that likewise, they can't help but make everything about how they personally feel about religion in general and Christianity. It's always Christianity and specifically, they're the ones that can't help but, like, if they see somebody discussing religion or bring up the Bible or bring up Jesus, they cannot help it. They have to butt in with, it's a secret conspiracy to make you all worship Jews. It took thousands of years for that to happen, the secret conspiracy, when the back when the church used to, like, say Jews can't own property, or Jews had to wear special clothing so that people knew who they were dealing with. That was all a part. It was like a generational hundreds of years of the secret conspiracy finally coming to bloom. Now it's revealed. Now we know what the secret plan was all along. It's just so silly, and they can't help it. They bust in and they have to tell you, And it's the usual stuff, Jew on a stick, and you just worship Jews, and you're just a... And look, I'm not defending the modern cut church stuff. Nobody's harder and mocks the modern cut church more than we do here at this show. And they tried to, like, lump us in with those people. You're a Christian believer, that means you're like the modern cut church that works endlessly to bring immigrants into our country. What? No. No. It's just silly. That led me to thinking, also about how ridiculous it is when you look at some of these modern day commies. You see some young guy, and he's out there LARPing I'm not taking their commie creds. I'm not saying they're not real commies. They're just a different kind of commie. But it's funny when they're out there, you got some guy like in his 20s or something, and he's out there LARPing as though he's some sort of Bolshevik labor union leader that's fighting, for the working man against the capitalist pigs. It's like the guy's never worked a day in his life. He's going to college on mommy and daddy's upper middle class income. Had never worked a day in his life, but he's out there LARPing as though he's like some sort of like I said, Bolshevik labor union leader in the 1930s. You know, I'm leading. We're going to lead a communist revolution for the working man. Really? What kind of job have you had there, Trevor? You know, it's a good job. Well, I'm going to college right now, getting my diversity degree. Oh, how do you afford that? Well, my mom and dad, you know, they've got good incomes. So, you know, but I'm suffering like the working man. How are you suffering like the working man there, Trev? Well, I'm having to drive this 3-year-old car. And I told mom and dad, I hate this car. It's 3 years old. It's got 30,000 miles on it. I want something new. I want something newer. I want a Beamer. Damn it. You know, yes. Lead on, comrade. And you also get the pagan Spurgs. And once again, I'm not saying all pagans are Spurgs. I've got pagans that listen to the show and I've talked to. Same with atheists. I've got non-believers that I talk to that are not Spurgs. I'm not saying all pagans are Spurgs. I'm talking about the pagan version of that guy that makes everything about Jesus. You know, that, again, that pagan guy has got to, you know, until the white race will not be saved until everybody learns to worship the Nord gods. People are not going to go worshiping Thor. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not disrespected. That's your thing. I don't care. You know, I don't care about that. But when you spurg at me with that stuff about you judge, we're going to defeat it and we're going to get the white race to return to the gods of old. Yeah, because that was such a great time when, you know, went around killing each other and turning other white people into slaves and selling them to whoever. Yeah, it's great. Great times. That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's just not. I don't mean to rain on your parade. I'm not trying to pick a fight here, but again, everybody's got their Spurgs. Again, I'm not picking on anybody here, but my point is that just like last week, I was talking about the cringy makes everything about Jesus guy. Everybody's got their Spurgs, atheist Spurgs, pagan Spurgs, and they just go around to make everything. And I think the common denominator here is for these type of people, it's always about them personally. You know, as if the world needs to prove something to them personally. You know, you're not going to convince me. Why do you think I give a shit enough to try to convince you? I don't even know where you would get that idea. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Maybe in this area, this is why I think it's been given to me to like to talk to the people. You know, that are already here. I mean, some hear it and come in, that's great, but I am not cut out for, like, you know, going out amongst the unbelievers and spreading the gospel, because I really want to. I don't care, you know. So maybe that's part of the path I have to walk. I don't know. As always, our goal here, you know, it's just to speak the truth. And that sometimes it's just, I was thinking, you know, how many times do, you know, people be like, you don't support, you know, normicons would be like, you don't support my heroes. You don't support the troops. Because we point out that, like, no veteran alive has fought for my freedom. And this really makes them mad. What brings this to mind, I was out and about the other day, and I was like behind this vehicle. And it was like a four-wheel meme. It was like a four-wheel Normicon boomer meme with all the stickers on there. You know, if you love your freedoms, think of that. What freedoms would that be? Exactly. I mean, I guess I'm glad I'm not speaking Vietnamese today. Whew, those Viet Cong could be ruling over us today, if not for the vets fighting for my freedoms. And people will hear that, though, especially like normies, and they think that, you know, I'm like disrespecting the troops. You know, well, you never went and fought for the Jews. Yeah, you're right. Thanks. you're welcome. No, they think that I'm like disrespecting, you know, people in the military. And that's not the case. In fact, the reality is I'm giving those people actually a voice. In fact, actually, when I think about how people in the military have been taken advantage of, lied to, and used, I think I channel some of that anger for these people. I think of it as I'm giving them a voice. You know, I mean, let's be honest. What has the adventure, the 20-year adventure in Afghanistan, what freedoms has that brought us? Post-9/11, do you have more freedom now with your Patriot Act? Everybody's freedom of speech now is just getting... Now, it's just like random commies can find somebody they don't like on Twitter and throw a fit in your band if you're not a commie. I'm talking like norm, just regular, like run of the mill. It don't even matter if they're on there like normie cons shilling about how much they love Israel and the Jews. You know, if they say something also about, say, Muslims or not wanting their country invaded by the third world, that's enough. You know, this all takes is one commie pissing and moaning about you. And these people are getting kicked off. Never mind that we warned these people. This was coming, you know, years ago. You're all going to be Nazis someday. You'll be the ones getting kicked off. They didn't listen. But this is to try my best. It's difficult, but try my best to stay on point here. You know, what freedoms have you gotten out of Iraq wars, out of Afghanistan wars, out of Libya wars, out of Syria wars? Oh, they try to pretend like, oh, wait, we didn't invade Syria. We did send troops there to fight ISIS. Like, nobody, like, with two brain cells and a pulse believes that ISIS was ever anything but a creation of the U.S. and Israel. I mean, let's be honest. Is that there's a conspiracy theory all you want, but it doesn't matter. It's right up there with believing that Epstein killed himself. Nobody believes that shit. You can call it conspiracy theory and just not talk about it. You know, the media, when I say the media, they can just ignore it and call it a conspiracy theory. They want, but nobody believes that shit. Nobody believes Epstein killed himself. And nobody believes that ISIS just suddenly came up out of nowhere and nobody, you know, this has gotten so clown worldish, especially during the peak of the whole made up ISIS thing, that they were openly now the U.S. they were openly supporting Al-Qaeda. Like, we're not supposed to remember they were the boogeyman of 9/11, but these are good Al-Qaeda. These are good Al-Qaeda that's fighting the ISIS. And we got it. Where's our freedom from this? Where's our freedom? Where's our freedom? What additional freedoms have we achieved? Because I see less and less freedoms. Honestly, I see the freedoms going away. I don't see any of this bringing about more freedoms. You want freedom. One of the key elements for freedom is having a high trust society. And do you live in a high trust society? In Western Europe, do you live in a high trust society? Here in America, nobody trusts the government. I mean, nobody. Nobody believes in the number of people who believes in the system, or believes in the justice system, or the government, or believes in these politicians, is getting less every year, because the only people left really that believe in any of that shit's the boomers, and they're dying off every year. You know, I mean, it's nobody. Where's the high trust society? If you want freedom, you have to have high trust society, because then the government, you know, and it goes the other way. The government doesn't trust the people. The government doesn't trust you. You don't trust your supposed rulers, even though, according to the narrative, they work for us. We're the boss. We're the voter. And it's government by the people and for the people. But they hate us. And I'm not just saying those demon rats, you know, and all of these politicians, all of them, they hate you. The only thing they care about is their billionaire or big corporation or big bank donors. They don't give a shit about you. You're the rubes that have to be, they have to go out and put on the brand new, just got it out of the package flannel shirt, and same with the right off the shelf blue jeans that are too short, and they stand out there and act like they're the working man. I never forget seeing Mitt Romney when he was running for president. I hate that guy. And I remember when he was running for president, how ludicrous this guy looked standing out there in like a flannel shirt and jeans in Iowa, you know, talking like he's one of the people. This asshole has never done manual labor one day in his life. You know, he's one of these vulture capitalist guys who have put people out of work and drained company of their capital and then resold the assets to make billions, you know. And he's out there with the nerve to think people are so stupid that if he puts on a pair of jeans and a flannel shirt, people, you have to unbutton it right to here, Mitt. You don't want to, if you button it up too high. You know, you look stuffy. You gotta unbutton it down here. You want to look like the casual working man. Well, you just came off the farm, Mitt, and you're here to talk to the people about how you're going to go to Washington and represent them. And they all do this routine. I mean, one thing about Trump is he never pretended to be anything he wasn't. I don't remember ever seeing Trump put on the blue jean costume and walk around. And that was refreshing because it was a little less insulting. At least he didn't pretend like he's one of the people. I find it just annoying. Yeah, I mean, Elizabeth Warren, that video, it's an old video now, which I think it was about time she first came out. She's going to run for president when she's like chugging the beer at the table. It just, all it made her look like was a ridiculous old alcoholic. It's like, what is wrong with this bitch? Nobody talks like that. Nobody looks like that. Their body mannerism. This is not the way normal people act, but they don't even know how to act like normal people because they live in this little weird strange people bubble that they don't even know. But they hate you. The government hates you. The government, we don't have a high trust society, so you can't have freedoms. The government doesn't trust you. They hate you. The people don't trust the government. Nobody trusts the media. Everybody hates those guys. Then you throw in the multicultural, all the different races in close proximity to one another and the conflict on that level. You don't have a high trust society. Without a high trust society, you can't have the freedoms. You just have people at the top trying to keep the lid on the whole thing so that they remain in power. And that's what you have today. Everything the government, these laws, it's to protect the safety of the American people. If you dig and look at them close enough, it's basically to try to keep the lid on to keep themselves in power. That's all it is. There's no high trust, so you can't have the freedom. You can have freedom when the government actually cares about what happens to the people, not just the rich, not just the big corporations, not just the billionaires, the big money donors, but they actually legitimately feel kinship to the people. The noblesse oblige, as they used to say in the old days. They actually feel a debt to the people, a kinship. It's their people. They want their people to do well. And when the government, when your rulers have that sort of attitude, then the people in turn trust them. They say, well, even when they screw up, I mean, people by and large are morons, and it does get tiring. Well, really, I mean, look at how many stupid people there are out there. Just look at them. Just go out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You aren't them. You're listening to this show. But, you know, but the people pick up on it. The people pick up when their rulers have an attitude. And even when they screw up, they're like, well, they get that they're trying. You know, well, that idea didn't work out. Okay. You know, let's move. You know, but they get that what their rulers are doing is trying to make their lives better. And they're not always going to get it right. I don't think anybody should have the attitude that whoever rules over them or whatever form of government they have is supposed to be like omnipotent and unflawed and perfect. Anything run by man is not going to be perfect. But people, when it's reflective, if your rulers really care about the people, then the people pick up on that and you have the trust go both ways. It's like then the people trust that their rulers, their government, you know, wants what's best for them. Nobody feels that way now. People tiptoe around. They're afraid they're going to say something wrong and have, you know, militarized police banging on their doors or some nonsense. You know, they're afraid that they're going to be the next one to get audited by the IRS. They're afraid that, you know, they're the one that's going to inadvertently break some law that nobody even knew is on the books because there's so many laws on the books. Why are there so many laws on the books? Why are there so many rules? Why are there so many regulations? Because the government doesn't trust you. They want to be sure they keep you under their thumb. They said that back during the old Soviet Union, they said that there were so many laws on the books in the Soviet Union. And they said one of the aspects of that system, the old Soviet system, was the reason, one of the reasons was there were so many laws on the books was because then if you stepped out of line in any way, shape, or form, they'd always have an excuse to round you up because everybody broke the law every day. It was impossible. There were so many laws on the books that everybody broke a law somewhere along the way. That way, if the government, the Soviet government, you know, for some reason you said something to the wrong person and got informed on, and they wanted to, the KGB or whoever wanted to round you up, you know, they had an excuse because there's something you did that was against the law. How is it any different here? How is it any different in America? My freedoms. Think of that for your freedoms. But the same system. They're using the same system as the Soviet Union. There's so many laws on the books that you break a law every day. I guarantee it. You break some sort of law you don't even know exists. I'm not saying you willingly break the law. That's just the whole point. Nobody knows what all these laws are. There's volumes and volumes of state, local, federal law. You're breaking some sort of law every day. Don't know what it is, but they could find it if they wanted to come round you up. And it's the same system. If for some reason they deemed it, they wanted to come and round you up, you've broke some law. That's not going to be a problem. And who trusts the justice system? That day comes that they pick up some, you know, obscure regulation that you violated as an excuse to come and harass you. Do you really have faith? Do you think some prosecutor somewhere is going to sit around and go look at this and go, why are we prosecuting this guy? I love how these stupid TV shows, you know, which I don't watch, but I'm aware of their existence. I don't live under a rock. You know, like the Law and Order TV shows, one of the most ridiculous, unreal shows out there. I mean, like more unreal than the quote unquote reality shows. They're so unreal. You see with these shows and it's like the prosecutor, we've got our guy, but then halfway through the investigation, they discover new evidence that shows that the guy they're prosecuting at the moment, he didn't really do it. And so they stop everything and they bring him in and say, you're exonerated. We're really sorry. Now we can go after the true culprit. That shit does not happen. Prosecutors don't care about justice. They care about win rates because they're looking to move up. They're going to run for district attorney someday in a few years. That's part of their life goal plan. They don't worry that they don't sit around and worry that they sent an innocent person to jail. They sit around and worry that they sent an innocent person to jail and down the road someone might find out and it could be bad publicity for them and screw up their political ambitions. That's what they care about. They will stop an investigation to try to find the truth. They try to get a win rate. That's why one of their favorite tactics is just stack a retarded amount of charges on somebody to force you to plea out because 99% of the people can't afford lawyers. So they got to have some like pro bono guy do it. And the pro bono guy, he's working for free. So what's he going to say? Man, you need to take this plea deal. I mean, you'll only have to do a year and a half with good behavior, you know, and then you can get out on parole. Never mind. He's not the one's got to go do a year and a half in hell, you know. But I'm innocent. I'm innocent of these things. Yeah, but if you don't plead out, you might not win. And they've gotten enough charges stacked on you. They're going to throw the book at you. And, you know, just one of these charges, you could do 20 years. You got to plead to something you didn't do. This happens every single day in America. Every single day in America, this happens to somebody. It's laughable. It's laughable when you have these leftist groups or advocacy groups or whatever, and they act like this only happens to blacks. No, it happens to pretty much anybody that gets caught up and ground up in the sand. I'm not saying like everybody that goes to prison is innocent and a victim of this system, but this is how the system works. This is how this system works. Oh, you get a trial by your peers, like you get some sort of fair hearing. If some billionaire gets brought up on charges that can afford like the best legal team, do you think he's getting treated the same under the system as Joe Sixpack that gets run in on charges of some sort? Do you really think that the system treats those two people equally? Whether it's a white guy, a black guy, whatever, that's irrelevant. And that's where these groups, these advocacy, these lefty groups, they get it all wrong. They act as though the system is like picking on poor Negroes that they didn't do nothing. Yeah, no, it's the system is designed so that prosecutors get win rates, and that's how they do it. It's how they stack it. Doesn't even have, it's not a racist thing. It's a I don't know, money is thing or whatever. But nobody trusts it. Nobody within their right mind trusts the justice system. Nobody trusts it. Again, we've just discussed how it doesn't go the other direction. The justice system isn't seeking justice, they're seeking convictions. And now you've got like private prison. They privatized some of the prisons to where now there's a profit motivation. They make money off of you if you go to prison. How could that be? Hey, there's a great idea. You can't have freedom without having a high trust society, and nobody trusts in the system. That's why there is no freedom. They can't have freedom of speech because they don't trust you with freedom of speech. Why? Because you might say something about them, something true, saying something like ridiculous and outlandish, you know, about your government or your rulers. It just looks stupid, and then they're not worried about that. They're worried about people speaking the truth. So they have to shut it down. They don't want you pointing out the truth to how the system works. There's no trust. You can't have freedoms without a high trust society. You point these things out to the average run of the mill flag waver, you know, these people become like a caricature. Look, I'm old enough. I remember when America was better. You know, I mean, during those ancient times of history known as like the 80s, when I was young, when I was in high school, the 80s, you know, we all just assumed life would get better. You know, we had our whole lives ahead of us, and you know, we believed that we could get ahead, and I just remember when, you know, there wasn't this constant, you know, shut down any dissent. There wasn't the tension. It was a higher trust society. Maybe it wasn't a quote unquote high trust society, but it was higher trust than what we have now, because it all is not an on off thing. It's all on a scale, and things were at a higher trust level than what we have now. What we have now is basically just almost just complete chaos. They're just keeping the lid on as best they can. But to the average flag waver, they'll sit here and their only response to these truths, they say, you hate America, don't you? You just hate the freedoms. You're as bad as the evil Muslim terrorist. You're probably a secret demon rat, aren't you? You're probably a secret demon rat, aren't you? You're just one of them liberals that hates America. No, I hate Clown World. I remember when America didn't equal Clown World. I didn't agree with everything. We didn't agree with everything the government did back then either. But at least it wasn't Clown World. At least, you know, there was some element of sense to it. Even if you disagreed with it, you could like look at the reasoning behind some of the things that were done and say, well, I understand why that's just not going to work. That's like how the political arguments were then. It was like, well, I understand the argument, but you're stupid. That's not going to work. Now, what's the argument? What's the argument for Clown World today? For any of these Clown World policy? What have we gained from nonstop wars for the past 20 years? I don't even know how anybody makes these arguments. How is any soldier fighting for our freedom? People like us that dissent against this stuff, we give the soldiers, the ones that realize it, and the ones that don't, we give them a voice. We give them a voice by speaking up and say, these people are being used. Well, these people are being used to fight rich men's wars. All these Middle East wars, they've benefited your freedoms. They're wars because Israel wants it. I mean, and that's a fact. I mean, that just, I don't even know. I always find it so silly. Like when leftists are like, oh, there are wars for the oil. Well, I mean, you know, I guess access to the oil fits in there. But if we were just going in there and like we went into Iraq and just took all their oil and dumped it into our market, we'd all be paying like 50 cents a gallon for gasoline. Everybody be like, line up the next country. But that didn't happen, did it? Why? Well, because, yeah, the big corporations don't want you dumping the oil on the market because that drives their profit margins down. So it's silly to say, oh, the real reason for this is for the oil. I mean, you can't think about these things, you know, in a singular way. I'm not going to sit here and say the only aspect of this is Israel, but it's the main aspect of it. Again, I mean, the truth of the matter is our entire foreign policy is centered around Israel. You know, they talk about North Korea sometimes, and they also talk about China sometimes. But really, the reality is like 90% of our foreign policy is centered around the Middle East. And why is it centered around the Middle East? If you put your thumb over the Israel in the map and pretended it didn't exist, nobody would care. Nobody would care what's happening over there. The fact of the matter is the entirety of our foreign policy, basically the virtual entirety of our foreign policy, practically speaking, is centered around Israel. Yes, there's other things to it. All of these wars, they spent trillions of dollars. They didn't have the money. So they borrowed it. They borrowed it from the Fed, aka the big banks, and they're paying interest on it. The defense contractors, they love it. Every one of those flashy Tomahawk missiles, every time you see one of those stupid videos where you're sitting there waving your made in China American flag in your hand and you're watching the smart bomb videos pretending like it's a damn video game and those aren't actual people who are losing their lives walking down the freaking street. Oh, it's a wedding party. Let's bomb. Oh, I want to watch this video. Look at this. Such America. We're bringing them the red, white, and blue freedoms. Look at that smart bomb. Wow, look. Some people that, oh, you know, yeah, maybe there was one guy there that you were aiming, but hey, them other 20 people, tough shit for them. We're going to pretend like those aren't actual people dying. Every one of those smart bombs costs all this money. Somebody gets paid for that because they got to buy another one now. Every time they use a Tomahawk missile, every time they drop one of these bombs, they got to buy another one. Somebody's getting paid. Damn sure ain't you, though, is it? Damn sure ain't you. Your life ain't got no better from it. You haven't gotten any wealthier. We've all gotten poorer. That money keeps funneling in to the very top. Meanwhile, you know, as far as is like geographical, you know, like, you know, things gained from action in the area, geopolitical gains. It's all for Israel. It's always centered around Israel. But you can't say that. That's anti-Semitism. You can't say the obvious. I mean, anybody. Yeah, I mean, Normicons say this. They think it's a good thing because Israel, you know, Jesus is going to come back and love us if we do everything for Israel. But they're saying, they're basically admitting, too, that just the same as me, that our entirety of our foreign policy is centered around Israel. They say it like it's a good thing. I don't think it is. But in the end, we're all supposed to pretend like we don't know. We're all supposed to pretend like there is some real hidden meaning agenda that's actually in America's interest by going around kicking over anthills in the Middle East. We go around, bomb, invade these countries, and talk about they hate us for our freedoms. And then in the most asinine move ever, we import the people from the countries. We import people from the countries that we're attacking. Makes total sense. What, you know, there are less freedoms today because there's less trust today. And that's a fact. Let's wrap that part up and let's get into our Christian specific message. I told you this was going to just be a completely random show. Like I said, no idea. I don't even know what we're going to talk about during. I mean, I've got something sketched down here. I just kind of jotted down, but I have no idea where we're going. This whole show, this entire episode number 51 of the Church of Lampshade, we're just flying 100% by the seat of our pants, which honestly, we kind of do that every week. But some weeks I have a little more of an outline, a little more of an idea of what we're going to do. Not this week. This week, there's no telling. So get on in here, fill those pews. Those of you who don't want to stick around for the Christian-specific message, I don't know why you wouldn't. Heck, unless you're an atheist spurg or something, if it's got some kind of spurg. I mean, you can be a complete unbeliever and still love the Church of the Lampshade, the Christian-specific segment, because you find something in your life that you're liable to get out of it. But come or go, either way, get in here, fill those pews. That's right. It's time for our Christian-specific message here at the Church of the Lampshade. And kind of keeping in tune, I guess, with our clown world discussion, I was thinking, and this is why I had this jot down, because it crossed my mind the other day, and for lack of a better starting point for Christian-specific message, we'll just start with this and see where we wind up with. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know what the Christian-specific message is going to be. It's going to be a discussion. We may quote some scripture this week. We may not. We may just discuss these things from a Christian, a real Christian point of view. And I was thinking about judgment. We talk about judgment a lot because, you know, this is obviously like some serious end days tier stuff we live through. I mean, clown world. When the disciples asked Jesus, what will those days be like? He gave them the edited version. You know, and they were amazed at that. They were like, nah, no way. I can't help but to think that Jesus at the time is thinking, if I told you how bad it's really going to be, you wouldn't believe. You really wouldn't. All the disciples probably would have bailed and been like, that's it. That ain't no way. He's too over the top with this. He had to edit his message. That's right. And edit the message. If he would have gave them like a rundown of what clown world was like, they would have been like, there ain't no way. You talking about people dressing up their little boys as girls and running around and saying they're actually girls? And you talking about like rulers and authorities will refer to men as she? And no, there's no way. I'm out of this. This guy's insane. No, but we talk about judgment and we tend to be one dimensional, I think, in the way we think. You just think judgment is being like the fiery furnace, you know. We talk on it a lot, even last week. You know, you mentioned in the scripture where it talks about, you know, he'll weed them out. You know, the grain goes here, the weeds go into the fire. And that illustration is there in the scripture. But when you read the scripture where, well, here, better yet, let's just grab one of these scripture verses to kind of make the point. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 22. Jesus speaking, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." So basically, he says right here, there's nothing, everything's going to be revealed. Now, how many of you, we have a tendency, like you read that and you think like Jesus, like when it comes to judgment, Jesus is going to like drag all of your deepest, darkest secrets out. And like, you know, all the things you've ever done and things you're ashamed of, you know, like you're going to get drug up here and get like roll called on all this stuff. Like Jesus is waiting to embarrass the hell out of you in front of everybody. You know, okay, now everything that's secret about you is going to be revealed. And it really, I think there's a very much a tendency to read something like that and read that into it. You know, like Jesus is just waiting. And you want to be open to when the scripture is rebuking you for something. And you want to be open for when the Holy Spirit is telling you you're on the wrong path. If God is speaking to your heart and saying, you know, you, what you're doing is wrong. You want to be open to that. You want to be open to if you read scripture that points out that you're on the wrong path, you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. But at the same time, you do want to always be careful, because one of the things Satan tries to funnel you into is to having an adversarial relationship with Christ, with God. He does. He tries to funnel you in. He tries to get you into this mindset of having an adversarial relationship. I think this is kind of touched on when, like, the Apostle Paul would talk about people trying to get, you know, when the apostles would preach about people trying to get back under the law. You know, they had come and they'd preach this new covenant of, you know, and they weren't saying the law doesn't count. They were saying there's this way now. You now have a sacrifice that has been made for you so that you can move forward and you can grow. And yet in the early church, they had all these guys come up and say, well, that's fine, but you have to do this and you have to do that. They kept trying to pull them back into the old laws, into the old ways. And the disciples, the apostles, fought against this because that put people back into this adversarial relationship with God. Before the new covenant, there's this, laws. It's like God is sitting there as your prosecutor and you're sitting there as a defendant without a chance in hell. And you know, looking to read off everything that you've ever done that is wrong. And there was this adversarial relationship. There wasn't a, and that's not what God wants. As you know, what parent wants to have an adversarial relationship with their children? And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to correct your children. You have to tell them, hey, look, you're screwing up. You know, hey, you've got to do it this way. Hey, no, we don't act like that. You know, you have to correct your children, but you're doing that out of love. You're not doing it in, like, you want to have an adversarial relationship with your children. You don't want to be at a point where you're just constantly in conflict. They feel like you've got the thumb on it. And if you have that kind of relationship with your children, then you're doing it wrong, quite frankly. I mean, you want to be guiding them. You've got to show them. You want to try to teach them right from wrong and what you do, what you don't do. You have to give them guidance. I mean, that's the whole point. Otherwise, you know, they could just be grown up in pods and then poof, you'd have little adults that suddenly come to being. I mean, you form their character and who they are and their values. And that's what you do. But you're not trying to have an adversarial relationship with them. Well, likewise, God does not want to have an adversarial relationship with you as his children. He doesn't want to be sitting in the role of a prosecutor looking for that one thing to nail you on. It sounds ludicrous when you talk about it, but we get caught up in this mindset, don't we? He's looking for, look, if God had that idea, if God had that mindset that he really just wanted to send everybody to hell, he really was looking for just something he could nail you, going to nail you on. I mean, he doesn't have to look very far. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, he does have to look far. So it's ludicrous to have this notion, this adversarial notion, this adversarial relationship, this adversarial idea. When it comes to God, yes, God will correct you. He corrects you because he loves you, not because, like, he wants to kick you in the ass all the time and he hates you. But Satan will suck you into that. He will suck you into this notion that God is out to get you. And so that's something you always want to be on your guard about. Now, back to the scripture we referenced. All these things are going to be revealed. And I think a lot of times we read that verse or verses like it. Well, nothing will be spoken. You know, what is spoken, like, in a closet is going to be yelled from the rooftops. And we get this idea that part of God's judgment is embarrassing us. It's going to drag us out, air our dirty laundry, and embarrass us. And like, again, I think that leads you into a path of having an adversarial relationship with God. Never mind it. If that was the case, if you really, you know, you're dead set on believing, just remember that, you know, if that's the case and everybody else is dirty laundry, you know, you ain't the only one. You ain't the only one that's done things that you wish you hadn't. You're not the only one that's done things you're ashamed of. You're not the only one who has sinned. Everybody else would be having their dirty laundry aired too. But I think a point, and this is what we're going to try to get to here. I think the point gets missed. You read that and you personalize it. God's going to air your dirty laundry. Near those things you've done, that thing you did 20 years ago that you wish you hadn't of, that thing you did that you don't want people to know about, God's going to drag that out and embarrass you. I want you to remember one of the key things, you know, that we talk about is truth here. You know, that's one of the things that I believe as Christians living in clown world, where Christianity is this caricature of the modern cut church. One of the key points that we hit on this all of the time, probably literally every week at some point, we pound and hound and focus on the truth. The way, the truth, the life, center word, truth. Now, how does this all tie in with the notion of judgment? Well, when Christ talks about, you know, all these things being revealed, this is a stark thing, because judgment's not just about throwing people into hell. I want you to think for a moment, just kind of visualize for a moment the world we live in today. I mean, you know, just kind of, I guess if you don't have to visualize it, you're living in it. But reflect for a minute on the clown world we live in today. It's all centered on lies, isn't it? I mean, everything. We were just talking earlier in the show. We got all of these things and we're supposed to pretend they're real. You know, when we just had, what, Holocaust Remembrance Day. You know, it doesn't matter how outlandish the stories are, whether it's pedal-powered skull-smashing machines or roller coasters that came down and hit a barricade and threw everybody into the, it doesn't matter, because you have to pretend that it's real. You have to pretend that you know, that no matter how outlandish it is, you're required to believe that it's real. But, you know, everything in modern clown world is based on lies. Everything, the whole system is basically a lie. We pretend like the politicians care about us, and whenever they're up for election, they come out and pretend like they care about us, and you know, and it just works that way. We all pretend that we're going to somehow vote for whichever team, R or D, and things are actually going to change, even though they never actually do. It's all based on, like, just make believe. If you're listening to this show, which obviously if you hear me, you are, you as a listener to this show, you understand how the world today treats truth tellers, how they come down on those who speak the truths, accuse you of whatever, but basically they're mad because you're telling the truth. Now, when you read this about Jesus, you know, saying that everything's going to be revealed, instead of thinking of it in the context of, oh, Christ is out to air your dirty laundry that really in the end nobody gives a shit about, by the way, it's self-centered to think that the whole world gives a shit about the sins you've committed. You know, it's the easy thing. And I say that as somebody who falls into that same trap from time to time. To pretend like the whole world would be like sitting around aghast waiting for you, Joe Blow, waiting to see just what the hell kind of skeletons you've got in your closet. The world is not sitting on pins and needles wondering what sins you've committed. Now, I want you to think, though, about this entire clown world society that we live in worldwide. You know, well, I mean, Eastern Europe is not really clown world, but here in Western Europe, here in America, in the West, we'll say in the West, we live on clown world society, and the whole thing is based on lies. Lies that are enforced, lies that everybody's just chosen to believe, lies that maybe are somewhat believable and people have bought into them. Whatever the case, so much of our history, so much of what we've been told through our lives, they're lies. I mean, and they go way back. I mean, so much of our history we've been told is lies. You know, I mean, yeah, some people come out and later do the truth, you know, discover the truth, and they'll bring it out, but nobody will talk about it. The media is not going to report about it. So it doesn't matter. I mean, nobody hears it. You do your research and discover that, you know, basically Roosevelt prodded the Japanese into bombing Pearl Harbor. And there were, you know, it wasn't a coincidence that the carrier groups were all out of Pearl Harbor and the really obsolete battleships were sitting there like sitting ducks in a row. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to talk about it. It's not going to make the nightly news. They're not going to change the history books for you. It doesn't matter. All based on lies. You know, it doesn't matter. The whole thing, so much of everything in our society now is lies. Now, think about those who promote modern clown world. You know, I mean, you're trying to keep your sanity by, and that puts you in opposition to clown world. But there are those out there. You see them out there. Lots of commies. Virtually all of the modern day commies, they are in embrace of clown world. In fact, their whole lives are centered around keeping, make clown world real. If we say it's real, then it's real, and everybody has to go along with the narrative. But now imagine these people, and right now they're high. Like I was saying earlier in the show, random commies can complain about you on Twitter, get you shut down, get you kicked off Facebook, all of those platforms. Next thing you know, you're on the wasteland of social media known as Gab with the rest of the evil Nazis that you laughed about several years ago, by the way, when they were banned, and you mocked the notion that you would be next. But alas, the point here is this passage isn't necessarily saying Jesus is out to air your dirty laundry. Think about the reaction of these people as part of God's judgment when these lies are all stripped away. The whole foundation, the whole center of so many people's existence in this world, their identities are tied to the lies that we've been told. Now imagine God showing up and stripping all of those lies off. We speak the truth, and like I just said, you can come up and speak the truth, and who's going to hear it? I mean, we have a decent sized audience here, but I mean, considering the context of like the world, I mean, we have a minuscule audience. But imagine worldwide, all of these lies being stripped away and the truth being shined upon the world. That sounds really good. It doesn't sound good to people whose entire identity, whose entire existence, whose entire reason for being is centered around the lie. This would be just, it would rip to their very souls. All of it will be revealed. The identities these people have created for themselves, this meaning in life, which is all tied to lies, it's going to be stripped away because there won't be any lies. And all this crap that we're told day in and day out, and you have to believe this, and this is totally real, and all of that is going to be stripped away. The truth of every argument you ever had was not that your personal particular argument, but the facts of the argument. Everybody you've ever argued with on the internet about something real, not just some sort of nonsensical thing, but like, every time you argued with somebody about whether or not there were really gas chambers and fake shower rooms, those arguments are going to be settled. The lie will be stripped away. All that will be left is the truth. You see, not only when the weeds are thrown into the fire, it's not just like individual, like wicked people. The lies are going to be cast into the fire. Think about that. And when he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, there will be cast into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we just think, if I was tossed into a fire, I'd be weeping and gnashing my teeth too. But you have to understand, that's not all of it. Because God will have ripped the lies away. God will have taken their entire identity away. Only thing that will be left in his presence will be truth. They won't have the power to force everybody to go along with the lies anymore. It will all be stripped away. It will not exist. There won't be like, I'm going to argue with my lie here. There will be no argument. It will just simply be revealed. All through history, all the little secret plans they made and little conspiracies they made, and they fooled all of the people, and they got everybody to go along with it, and all of that shit is going to be gone. And remember, in eternity, at the judgment, in eternity, everybody from history will be there. Yeah, the time doesn't exist. So everybody in history, thump, you wind up there. All of their little lies, all their conspiracies, none of it will come to anything because the truth will be revealed. The truth will be shined upon it. I think it's way too easy to underestimate how devastating this would be for people. In fact, I would say that this would be a higher cause for there to be weeping and gnashing of teeth than to be thrown into the fiery furnace, literally into fire. To have your whole life, to have your whole life before you to reflect upon. Here's your life. Here's your existence. And everything you believed in is stripped away because it was a lie. Everything you built your identity on is a lie. Everything that you believed in your entire life, you dedicated your life to, it's all nothing but a smoldering pile of shit. It was nothing. You spent your whole life thinking this was a big deal. And you were wrong because it was a lie. And now it's too late. You see, that's the thing about embracing the lie. You know, these people now that live off of the lie, they make their living. They exist on the lie. They've put their hope in something that's not going to last because the truth will be revealed. It's all going to be stripped away. And once when that time comes, it's game over. There's no redo. They don't get to go back now and try. Now, I've shown you this now. I'm going to let you go back and get a do-over because that wouldn't be just. These people who have spent their entire time on this world persecuting truth tellers, how would that be just? They get a do-over now. Now, God came and explained it to them himself. They've had to see it wouldn't matter anyway. Because that's what they are of. And that's what he tells us. They're children of the lie. They would go back and do the same thing over and over. Even if God did do that, and he wouldn't because he is just. He's not so unjust that he would let the truth tellers spend their time being persecuted and then judgment reveal to the persecutors that the wrongness of their way, their entire identity is based on a lie. They were wrong, and now I'm going to let you do it all over again. It wouldn't matter anyway because they'd do the same thing. They can't help it. They're of their father, the devil. It's game over. Your entire identity, everything you built, the meaning of your life and who you are around, being revealed as a lie and stripped away. You can no longer hold on to it. It's stripped away, bare. It's like, I don't know, tearing a scab off. There it is. Bare. You can't put it back on. You can't sit there and go, no, 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 give me my lie. Give me my existence that's a lie back, Jesus. Doesn't work that way. Once it happens, it happens. It's there. That's it. It's done. There's no going back. And there's no do-overs. It's not difficult to see where that would lead to weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think it's possible to overstate how devastating this would be. I mean, we look at these people who, you know, and it's easy to think of like clown world commies in this context, but so many people, this is just going to be devastating for them. An illustration I would get, and look, this is just an illustration, okay? Look, I'm not in charge, obviously. I'm not in charge. I'm not sitting here saying who gets, you know, I know who's going to heaven, who's going to, I'm not sitting here like, I'm using this as an illustration. Imagine all the people who you've argued with about, say, World War II, then the truth of World War II, and how many people have built, like, their entire belief system around the worship of this, you know, America beat the... Now, imagine these people going, you know, the judgment comes, or imagine these people die, and they go, and they look up, and they see, and they were to see, say, Stalin, Roosevelt, and Churchill burning in hell, and there's Adolf Hitler in heaven. Again, that you see why I get I'm not sitting here saying, I'm just using this as an illustration of how this would tear apart people's own very sense of self. They spent their entire life with this belief that the Allies were the good guys while the Nazis were running around gassing 6 trillion Jews in secret shower rooms with a wooden door and turning them into lampshades and soap. And they believed this whole narrative. I mean, so many people knew Vietnam was bullshit. They've kind of rewritten that over history, but everybody at the time knew it was bullshit. And people talk about these modern wars being bullshit, you know, but you go back and virtually just about everybody in America will sit here, you know, but a World War II, now that's the way a war should be done. Never, I think for Americans, it's mostly because that's like the last war they actually, quote unquote, won. Yeah, they act like it's like a righteous war. Why? Because you nuked Japan twice. An already defeated Japan got nuked twice. The civilian casualties, that's what makes us special. But anyway, not going to get off topic. But for so many people, there, you know, World War II was the righteous war. It was like a holy war because we stopped the evil cartoon Nazis from gassing the 6 million. It could have been 12 million. Who knows? Who knows how many could have been in the gassings? And likewise, how many survivors we would have wound up, 12 million survivors. But anyway, I slept through the gassing. But they built their whole belief system around it. So much of this stuff is, you know, we talk about how the Holocaust is like a religion. You know, and so like America, the Allies are the good guys. Never mind, like a few short years later, the Soviets were the bad guys. But at that time, they were the good guys. It's like the whole Al-Qaeda ISIS routine, only done on a global scale. World War II, Soviet Union, the Red Army, they were the good guys. But starting in the 1950s, Soviet Union, Red Army, bad boogaboo guys that were coming to get you at any minute to take your freedoms away. That would set the stage for we can tell them whoever's the bad guy. But I just imagine, though, these people who've built, what it would be like for these people built their whole belief system around this. To suddenly, you know, oh, you're dead. Oh, hey, wow, looking around to see who's where. And like I say, you see the quote-unquote good guys, Stalin, which some people would argue about the Stalin. Yeah, the Stalin thing probably wouldn't be shocking. But Churchill and Roosevelt burning in hell, and you saw Adolf Hitler in heaven. It would just rend their entire, because they built their whole life. The time they were given on this earth, it would just be... just ripped apart. It would just be torn apart. Again, I'm not sitting here saying I'm declaring that here's who is where. It's just an illustration for you to think about how that would affect people. Now you're a truth teller, and you've been telling these truths, and these people have been arguing with you and mocking you and calling you names and accusing you of wanting, you know, because you deny the shower rooms, you actually want to make shower room or something, you know, you've been dealing with. So you sit there and go, yeah, bring it on. But for these people who have built their identities around this, who have built their whole existence around nothing but lies, who have scorned the truth, it would be earth shattering. It would totally be earth shattering indeed. Once judgment is upon this world, the judgment, the big one, the final judgment, the last. And see, the truth is a part of judgment. That's why I specifically say the big, the final judgment. When you want to know why they hate you as a truth teller, they really, I mean, they don't even probably know this. They might know it on a spiritual level. They hate you as a truth teller because when you speak the truth to their lies, you are speaking in judgment. You see, judgment is something, there's the final judgment, but it's also something that happens along the way. They hate you as a truth teller because when you speak the truth to their lies, you are actually bringing about a judgment. You are speaking a judgment against them. If you are speaking the truth, it is a judgment against the lies. That's why they hate you. They hate you because you speak truth, because you speak judgment, and their entire identity is built around the lie. We're going to wrap up on that note. We managed to only be about 10 minutes over on time. Pretty good for us. Again, a big thank you to those who support the show. I encourage you to do so. Pay those tithes. That information's down at the bottom of this page. If you got something out of it, really encourage you to do so. We pass the offering plate around every week. But regardless, I do appreciate you stopping by, giving the show a listen. It's a brave soul indeed who stops by the Church of the Lampshade. We'll be back next week, folks. Thank you for joining us this week. Until then, stay sane and stay safe. We'll see you next Tuesday right here at the Church of the Lampshade.